This is I Choose Life News and Views, sponsored by Indiana Right to Life and Allen County Right to Life, committed to defending innocent human life for all people of all ages. Your hosts are Kathy Humbarger, Amanda Banks, and Scott Kump.
Welcome to I Choose Life News and Views. I'm Kathy Humbarger.
I'm Amanda Banks.
And I'm Scott Kump. Choose Life News and Views is a joint project of Allen County Right to Life, Indiana Right to Life, and Bot Radio Network in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
And now the pro-life news.
3 months after making an open records request for a 911 call originating from Leroy Carhart's Germantown, Maryland Reproductive Health Services abortion clinic, Operation Rescue has finally received a 911 recording from the Montgomery County Fire and Rescue Services indicating that the patient was hemorrhaging from complications due to a late-term abortion. In addition to taking weeks beyond the statutory deadlines to comply with Operation Rescue's open record request, the recording was heavily redacted, omitting information that has previously been obtainable by the public, indicating a policy change that actively protects the abortion clinic. According to Troy Newman, president of Operation Rescue, quote, while the Maryland Public Information Act allows for the records custodian to exercise a certain amount of discretion in what is released, the redactions made in the November 26, 9-1 recording represent a gross abuse of that discretion at the expense of the public that has a right to taxpayer-funded 911 communications as long as patient identifying information is removed. Close quote. Newman claims there have been no changes in the Maryland Public Information or Freedom of Information laws to justify such a change in policy. In spite of the over-redactions, Operation Rescue was able to determine that the patient was hemorrhaging based on the line of questions asked by the emergency dispatcher, including a question concerning whether the patient requiring emergency medical assistance was on any blood thinners. Germantown Reproductive Health Services is one of the few abortion clinics that openly offers abortions through all 9 months of pregnancy. Carhart, who lives in Nebraska, has held no hospital privileges anywhere since 1982. In 2013 alone, Operation Rescue documented 4 medical emergencies involving Carhart, 3 of which took place in Germantown. This includes the February 2013 death of Jennifer Morbelli due to complications from an abortion done by Carhart, who was unreachable by family and hospital staff as Morbelli's condition deteriorated. In spite of this, the Maryland Board of Physicians declined to hold Carhart accountable for his failure to provide Mrs. Morbelli with the same continuity of care that is required from other physicians. For more information, go to OperationRescue.org. This from CitizenLink. School officials in Washington State violated the constitutional freedoms of a pro-life organization, according to a legal group. Wilson Students for Life wanted to hang 2 posters to promote the club at Wilson High School in Tacoma. Administrators refused to give them permission. Officials were perfectly fine, though, with allowing the school's Gay-Straight Alliance to post flyers promoting homosexuality. According to Thomas More Society Vice President Peter Breen, quote, public schools have a duty to treat all student groups equally, close quote. In a letter to the school, the Thomas More Society reminds officials that viewpoint discrimination is against the law, stating, quote, schools may not subject a pro-life club to any conditions that do not apply to all other non-curricular clubs. Placing requirements on the posters, leaflets, or announcements of a pro-life group that differ from those for other groups is unlawful differential treatment, close quote. Attorneys from the legal group also highlighted the fact that school officials allowed the Gay-Straight Alliance to hold a day of silence while denying the pro-life group the same opportunity. For more information, including pictures of the posters and a link to the letter from the Thomas More Society, go to citizenlink.org.
This is your AFA Indiana News Minute. The United States Supreme Court has scheduled arguments for a case surrounding a pro-life group's lawsuit against an Ohio electoral speech law. Back in 2010, the pro-life group Susan B. Anthony List sought to unseat the self-identified pro-life Democratic Congressman Steve Dryhouse in response to his voting for the Affordable Care Act. The group planned to erect a billboard that read, "Shame on Steve Dryhouse. Dryhouse voted for taxpayer-funded abortion." Dryhouse filed a complaint against SBA List before the Ohio Election Commission, arguing that the ad violated a state statute prohibiting false speech against a candidate. The group denies that its claim against Dryhouse was false, but it argued that the Ohio law deterred them from moving forward with the billboard campaign. and they filed a federal lawsuit. There's more online at afain.net.
We are going to be talking a bit about what some may have considered common ground with the pro-abortion advocates in the past, and that is the exceptions for abortion, the hard cases, the situations involving rape and incest. Many of you, I'm certain, remember some politicians who have perhaps misspoken, but certainly been misrepresented and misunderstood in the media as they have attempted to speak clearly about their position in regard to the value of every human life. And we have a ways to go in educating not only ourselves, but those who don't understand that we must separate the violent acts of rape and incest from the lives of the babies. And to help us understand that today, joining us in the studio is Monica Kelsey. Thank you so much for being with us, Monica.
Thank you for having me, Kathy.
And Christy Hofferber, who is joining us by telephone from Illinois. Welcome, Christy. This is your first opportunity to be a guest on our program, and we're delighted you took time out of your day to join us.
Thank you, Kathy.
Well, Monica, you have been on this program before and helped us understand from your very personal story, the importance of every human life. And we're really excited to be able to announce today the beginning of a brand new group, Living Exceptions. Tell us a little bit about that group.
Well, I founded Living Exceptions so people could understand who I was. My birth mother was 17 years old, brutally raped, and as a result became pregnant with me. But in 1972, my life was protected by the law. And the law was there for me. Today, you know, we always make the exceptions for the hard cases, which is your rape and your incest conceived. And quite frankly, I'm tired of them singling me out just to get a bill passed or try to get a bill passed. So, and unfortunately, 60% of pro-lifers today say I'm pro-life except. And I founded Living Exceptions because I wanted people to understand that I wasn't the exception. I am exceptional. And, you know, I look at my life in a totally different way now once I found out, because I found out at the age of 37 that my birth mother was brutally raped and as a result became pregnant with me because she placed me up for adoption at birth and I didn't know. But Living Exceptions, I founded it because I want my story to be heard. I want Christy's story to be heard. Pam Stenzel's also a part of our organization now. I want her story to be heard so people aren't saying I'm pro-life except anymore.
Mm. Very well said. Christy, tell us a little bit about your story, because I know that rape is certainly a violent act against women, and that is something that none of us condone. We know God hates rape, and it's certainly something that is very abhorrent to all of us. However, you have a story of incest, and that seems to have even a more profound impact on folks. Tell us your story.
Yes, I was conceived and thought of rape and incest. My biological father is also my biological grandfather, just as my mother is also my half-sister.
Wow.
And it was difficult to understand that initially. I found out, much like Monica, I was 30, so I found out later in life. And I didn't know what to think at that point, but I knew that my faith was my stronghold. And I was also placed for adoption. However, I was born in 1978, so I was not protected by the law. And I am the only one of six children who survived. Four were aborted to cover his actions, and one was forced to miscarry through violence.
Wow.
Also to cover his actions. And the abuse with my mother took place over a 20-year span. And it wasn't until I was about 13 years old when she decided to finally step in and prosecute him. And because there was no evidence, I was placed for adoption. It was a closed adoption, and that was protected by the courts. They couldn't find me, so there was no proof to convict him.
Wow.
So he served a minimal, I believe it was close to 18 months in prison for over 20 years of abuse.
Well, Christy, lots of questions go through my mind as I consider your situation. Of course, we're so grateful that you are literally an abortion survivor, not that there was an attempted abortion on your life, but that you, in fact, even though there was a law that would have certainly encouraged an abortion when your mother was pregnant with you, but just that you have survived such horrific information. So you were adopted as an infant, is that correct?
Yes, I was adopted at birth.
And did the parents that adopted you, were they aware of the circumstances?
Not until the prosecution, when I was about 13.
Wow.
They did not know anything about it. They saw the names in the newspaper that was published locally, and they knew the name. So that's when they started putting two and two together.
So you grew up in the same area that your mother slash sister grew up in?
Yes.
So I'm assuming that you have had contact with her.
I have had contact, yes.
Okay, and tell us a little bit about that.
It was difficult, you know, not knowing how she would react. And after reading, I myself went to the archives at the local paper and did get copies of the articles. And that's when it really started to sink in for me.
Wow.
To see it in black and white. And I think from there, I wasn't sure, should I go forward? Because I didn't want to bring anything back for her and make her relive any of that again.
Right.
And so through a lot of prayer and a lot of contemplating what to do, about a week later, I did reach out to her and just put it out there. And I said, you know, if you want to contact me, I think we have something in common. And here's how to get a hold of me. And much to my surprise, and I'm very thankful, she did choose to contact me. She knew who I was. And she reached out to me as well.
And have you in any way had to be in the same room with your biological father, who's also your grandfather?
No. I never met him, and I spoke to him one time, and that was very brief.
Tell us, Christy, and I know this is your first time to be a guest on our radio program, so hopefully I'm not making this too uncomfortable for you, but I think your message is so important, not only in regard to the life issue, but also to those who have come from extremely hurtful childhoods and circumstances. Has forgiveness played a big role in your ability to heal from this situation?
Absolutely. I have forgiven my biological father. Not that he committed any act against me, but against my mother. In order for me to be able to move forward, I knew that I needed to forgive him.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I was raised. I knew that that was a key. And thankfully, God opened my heart to that and allowed me to forgive him for what he had done to her. I don't condone his actions in any way whatsoever, but I know that just as Christ forgives us, I should forgive others.
And I understand that now you're married to a Lutheran pastor, and do you have children of your own?
We do. We have one son. He's 9 years old.
Wonderful.
And he is also adopted, as is my husband. So all three of us are adopted.
Wow. That is absolutely amazing, and what a wonderful story. It is extremely difficult for those of us who hear you speak, Christy, to hang on to any remnants of but what ifs, but what if the baby was conceived as a result of incest, or Monica, in your case, rape. Let's revisit your story, Monica. Have you had to exercise forgiveness as you have healed from recognizing that you were conceived in rape?
You know, I have. That was probably the hardest part for me out of this whole situation was the forgiveness. I was very angry at him. I wanted revenge. You know, I wanted him to pay for what he had done to my birth mother, because after meeting my birth mother and falling in love with her, I couldn't understand how he could do this to her. But through prayer and through family, and my husband, of course, is a huge supporter of mine, I have forgiven him. You know, Jesus tells us to hate the sin, but to love the sinner. And
right.
We're all sinners.
Exactly.
You know, and if I go to Walmart today and steal a pack of gum, how is my sin any different than his?
We've all fallen short.
Yes. And forgiveness, it was the hardest thing for me to do, but it's probably the best thing that I ever did.
Well, this is Kathy Humbarger in the studio with you today for this week's edition of I Choose Life News and Views. Our very special guests are Monica Kelsey in the studio with us. Monica is the founder of Living Exceptions, and on the phone is Christy Hofferber. Monica was conceived as the result of a rape, and Christy as the result of incest. We're talking about the hard cases, and that is often what is used to justify abortion laws, because the pro-abortion side says, well, we shouldn't make women have babies that were conceived as a result of rape and incest. And that is a very difficult position to maintain when you look in the faces and hear the voices of the people that came from those circumstances. Monica, tell us a little bit about Living Exceptions and what you plan to do with this organization.
Well, you know, I founded Living Exceptions because of my story, and I wanted to get our stories out there so people will look at us as just normal people. We're less than a month into Living Exceptions, and we already have organizations contacting us to speak. And it's kind of important. One of the things that Christy and I like to do is we've been in Illinois speaking together, and you put her and I on a stage together, and you got, oh my goodness, you know?
Right.
It's amazing the questions. We always do a question and answers phase after we're finished. And it always amazes me because we always get the question, you know, oh my gosh, we have an incest victim. Is there something wrong with her? Does she have three legs or, you know, one arm? You know, it's like people think that there's going to be a deformity just because she is conceived in incest. And Christy is an absolutely beautiful woman that is just like anyone else. And as for me as well. And I want people to understand that, you know, and unfortunately, our audiences are pro-lifers. We can go out and talk to pro-choice people all day long, but they don't value your life. They're not going to value ours.
Right.
So we talk to the pro-lifers who have that exception, you know, 6 out of 10 pro-lifers say I'm pro-life except in the case of rape or incest. I want these 6 out of 10 people to say, I've met Monica, I've met Christy. They deserve life as well.
I certainly commend you for what you're doing. Talk a little bit about Pam Stenzel. Our listeners may know her more in the arena of sexual purity messages. They may have heard her speak on that topic, but she also is a part of your group for a reason. Tell us a little bit about Pam.
You know, Pam is an amazing speaker. One of the things that I wanted to make sure that Living Exceptions was an organization that could go out there and deliver the message properly. Pam Stenzel is a perfect trainer for that. I got to spend 15 days in South Africa with Pam in December of last year, her training me. I thought I was a good speaker until I went to South Africa and she changed my whole speech. And But it was the way I was delivering it. And she's an amazing person on stage.
And she has a story as well.
She does, yes. She's also conceived in rape. And her story is she hasn't met her birth mother. She hopes to one day. But the message still is clear. She, you know, we all still deserve our right to life. But Pam Stenzel's an amazing speaker. She's training us to deliver that message. And you're going to see a lot of great things coming out of Living Exceptions.
Well, Christy, tell us, is it difficult to tell your story?
Initially, it was very difficult, but I see the value in telling it, and I see that other people's minds are being changed and hearts are being changed, and for me, that's what it's all about. It's not about me telling my story, but it's about who can it help and how can it help them, and that makes it a little bit easier.
Well, tell us a little bit about your husband's reaction to all this. I would imagine that it was a step of faith for him to hear you share your story as well.
Yes, actually, it was. He is also adopted and has not had the desire to reunite with his family. And I have always had that. So he has been very supportive in me finding my family. And then knowing, I mean, he was the first person, you know, when I actually sat down and wrote out my story, I said, okay, I'm going to bounce this off of you. You have to, you know, you have to
be okay
tell
with
me,
this.
Am I on the
sure.
Right. Are you okay with this? Am I on the right track? And is this something that you'll support me in doing? And he was. And I'm very thankful that he was.
Well, you know, and that's a big relief for us is that our husbands are standing behind us, kind of pushing us to let us change people's hearts and minds. You well, know, they see it happening every day.
I'm certain they're very grateful that your mothers chose life for you. They certainly have their role to play.
Well, you know, and also Christy was married to her husband when she found out, and I was married to my husband when we found out. So this has actually been a healing process for both of us,
right?
You know, and an acceptance process for both of us. I don't think I would have been as strong as I was without my husband beside me. And Christy, I think you would say the same.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and that's huge for us to be able to put ourselves out there and our husband stand behind us.
Sure. Well, tell us a little bit about your goal for Living Exceptions. What do you hope to do? And tell us how folks can get in touch with you if they want to bring you to their communities.
Well, Living Exceptions, our website went live last week, and it's livingexceptions.com. And we also have a Facebook page under Living Exceptions. They can actually go to our contact page on livingexceptions.com and email us on you know, a date that they'd like us to come and speak. We're actually going to be speaking in Indianapolis on March 2nd, Christy and I both. And on Living Exceptions website, I will have all that information on there. So if you're from Indianapolis and you'd like to come listen to us speak, we would love to have you there. But we're also planning a lot of conferences this year. We have one in South Carolina that we're working on right now. And one of our big missions for Living Exceptions is we want to do a mission trip every year.
Wow.
One mission trip every year just to get outside of the country and let our ministry grow worldwide. Now, we're going to spend, 12 months out of the year here, but we want to spread our message worldwide as well, because a lot of other countries, especially third world countries, see rape and incest like crazy. And then, mm-hmm. of course, abortion like crazy too. And so this year, Christy and I have been working on Honduras. There's a place in Honduras that is a home for these kind of women, incest and rape conceived women who are pregnant. And we haven't finalized that yet, but we're pretty sure that this is where God is leading us this year. Mm-hmm. Next year, we don't know. Well, we'll let God choose that path. And if it happens for us, it will. And if he doesn't want us to go there, we won't. So,
well, Christy, how do you feel about being thrust into the spotlight like this almost overnight? Is it a little overwhelming?
It's had its moments of overwhelming, but I think it's very beneficial. And it's really come to the point where I know that this is the path that God has chosen for me, and this is the path that I'm going to follow.
Well, Monica, how can our listeners pray for you as the months unfold?
Pray that God will give us the words to mm-hmm. say to our audiences to change their minds. That's where we need prayers. And pray that this path that we're following is the path that God wants us to follow. We keep saying that we're not going to push anything. If it's supposed to happen, it will. And, your listeners, we would love for them to pray for us to be changing these 6 out of 10 pro-lifers so mm-hmm. they no longer say I'm pro-life except.
Well, give your website again so our listeners can stay in touch with what you're doing.
Livingexceptions.com and also on Facebook at Living Exceptions. You can also, I'll have a link on my website, monicakelsey.com, that will also give you information on Living Exceptions.
Okay, wonderful. I'd like to touch on something both of you mentioned early in the program, and that is the legal aspect of abortion and the exceptions that are in many of our laws. Monica, you said you were protected because the Roe versus Wade decision had not been handed down. I think it was very close in time to the time that you were conceived and then born. And Christy, you said that you were conceived and born after the law went into effect. I've literally cried with many women who've made an abortion decision and regretted it. And one of the things that they routinely say to me is, but it was legal. So legal does matter, doesn't it?
People do think that just because it's legal that it's okay. And we have to revisit the moral issues on this. Slavery was mm-hmm. legalized and they changed that law. Mm-hmm. Nobody deserves to be a slave. Well, nobody deserves to be killed either.
Right.
And we are working diligently. The pro-life community we have come farther in the last probably 2 years than we ever have in the 41 years that we've been trying to change this law. But you're right. Back in 1972, my life was protected. And I owe my life to pro-life legislators and voters who said that my life was worth saving, even without even knowing of my existence. And because of my birth mother's gift to carry me to term.
She had an opportunity to abort you.
Yes. She actually, at the advice of her mother back in October of 72, went to a back alley abortion clinic and almost aborted me. And she changed her mind. And she saved my life that day. And now I'm a medic and a firefighter, and I save lives now on a daily basis. And, I look at that as a big part of my life because I was saved. So I'm kind of passing that forward. But now, how amazing is it that my God allows me to save lives during the day as a medic and a firefighter and to change the way people think about abortion at night? How amazing is that?
That is amazing, but we serve an amazing God.
My only thought on that was with the opportunity for abortion to be legal, like in my case, it covered up the crime.
Yes, and that's an important piece of this.
And I think that it is very important to look at that. When you put that exception into the law, you're essentially covering up potential crime and protecting the perpetrator, not the child.
Exactly.
That's well said, Christy.
A very, very important point. So if we continue down the path of exceptions, not only are we ending the lives of the innocent children, but we're also not acting in the best interest of the women who are victims of these violent crimes.
Correct.
I really appreciate you pointing that out. Monica, any final thoughts for our listeners?
No, just thank you for having us again, Kathy. We look forward to an amazing year.
Well, we will be partnering with you and having both of you back to keep us apprised of the progress of Living Exceptions. And one more time, that website is?
Livingexceptions.com.
Livingexceptions.com. Be sure to visit that website and keep Monica and Christy and Pam in your prayers as they crisscross the country and step outside our borders as well to protect the life of every innocent human life. Thanks, Christy and Monica, for sharing your story. And thank you to every one of our listeners for tuning in to I Choose Life News and Views. Until next week, this is Kathy Humbarger.
The next 40 Days for Life campaign in Indianapolis is almost here. Featured speaker Monica Kelsey, founder of Living Exceptions, will help kick off the campaign at 3 p.m. Sunday, March 2nd at Little Sisters of the Poor, 2345 86th Street in Indianapolis. The actual prayer vigils will begin March 5th and run through April 13th. For more information, go to 40daysindy.org. That's numeral 4, numeral 0, daysindy.org.
The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops are continuing their national prayer and fasting initiatives for life, marriage, and religious liberty, including the Call to Prayer. Now, in its second year, the Call to Prayer calls on individuals, families, and churches to come together to pray daily and participate in a weekly fast for the bishop's intentions in promotion of a culture of life. In Fort Wayne, the ecumenical group of Christian pastors and deacons called Shepherds United is also continuing their second year. Shepherds United is a coalition of clergy dedicated to defending life, marriage, and religious liberty. More information can be found at shepherdsunited.org. That's shepherdsunited.org. You're up to date with the local culture of life. I'm Kathy Humbarger.
If you or someone you know is in a crisis pregnancy, call 877-791-5475. If you or someone you know is dealing with grief and pain after an abortion decision, whether you had an abortion, convinced someone else to have an abortion, or even participated in a procedure, call 877-791-5475. You'll be referred to a pregnancy resource center in your area, a place where free and confidential services are available. That's 877-791-5475. 877-791-5475.
You've been listening to I Choose Life News and Views. If you have questions about this program or if you'd like to support the fight for life, please call 260-471-1849 or go to iChooseLife.org, because without the right to life, no other rights matter.